Greetings, folks, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. Today is Tuesday, January 7th, 2020. I am Dave Hamilton, reporting here from CES in Las Vegas, Nevada. And of course, I am here again. We've taken over yet again. I'm here with John F. Braun. How you doing today, Mr. John F. Braun?
Fantastic.
Lantastic. We are here high atop the Mirage Hotel and Casino and everything else. And we've got more stuff to talk to you about. So that's why we took over from Kelly today. You know, I am not a gamer, John. I rarely play games. In fact, I would say you are far more of a gamer than me. But I got to go. I've long been a fan of JBL. But their headphones and speakers, in fact, we have their Pulse 4 speaker here in the room so that we have music and ambiance. I went to their pavilion today to take a look at a new product line that they're launching, and that is their Quantum Gaming headphones. These things are actually pretty cool, John. First of all, JBL is making gaming headphones. Secondly, I'm not going to bury the lead. These will work with the Mac. Now, of course, headphones work with the Mac, but these headphones are a little bit different. This is a product line. There's seven headphones and one set of PC speakers. The headphones run from $40 to $300. At the top of the line, these headphones have spatial awareness. They've got a microphone, of course, with some noise canceling in it and all of that. But this spatial awareness is pretty cool, so that when you're playing a game, John, and the sound is in front of you and you turn your head to the right, now the sound is to the left of you. Mm. And I got to demo it and I shook my head back and forth like a crazy man. Mm. And never once did I feel it like lag. It just felt natural. It just worked. But that's not always how technology goes. So I was pretty impressed with it. And I'm just impressed that somebody is making a gaming thing for the Mac as a platform that is part of their launch strategy, down the road. Sure. The Mac. Yes. This, that, and the other thing like that, that speaks volumes to how far Apple has come with everything. And of course, you know, Project Catalyst, allowing things from iOS to be run on macOS. Of course, iOS is a fantastic gaming platform. So to see this, really, it made me excited, even though I probably will never play a game with them other than maybe testing it and that sort of thing. So that was my thing for today. My first thing for today. I've got a couple more, but you got anything?
I do.
Sweet.
So, I may even write something up on this. But so I checked this out. So the company is named Phyn, Phyn, and apparently it seems to be some sort of spinoff or owned by Belkin. There's some association between them and Belkin.
Right.
But what they introduced or were showing, not actively showing, they make a line of devices that basically make sure that your water lines don't destroy your house.
Your water lines?
You know, whether it's freezing or a leak or something like that, or just measuring your water flow. You know, these things do that.
Huh.
So, I mean, you've seen some. There are a couple other companies that make these, but they're typically lines that are in line. They have some sort of one or more sensors. And then based on whatever science they've done, they can figure out if terrible things are happening. Now, they made one called the Phyn Plus.
Okay.
Which was both a, you know, kind of leak detector, water detector thing, and a shutoff as well. But you had to get a plumber to install it, and it was $6.99. So, you know, not everybody wanted to pay that. The water damage can get expensive, I can tell you that.
John, you have personal experience with that, my friend.
Yeah, well, many in the Northeast have dealt with frozen pipes. And get homeowners insurance. Work
right,
for me.
Right. But,
so they just introduced a new version of it. So here are the nice things about the new version. So number one, the new version, which is called the Phyn Smart Water Assistant, number one, it's $299. Okay, so it's less.
That's way more affordable, but...
Number two, it's self-installable. As long as you have, I think the form factor is 3/8-inch water lines, which are pretty typical for most houses.
That's pretty typical, sure.
You can install it yourself. You turn off your valves, you put this in line, and then... then this is the part that, you know, I mean, it gets kind of interesting, but they do all sorts of things. It's temperature, it's vibration. I mean, you can go to their site and you can check it out. But, you know, it's a lot of research and just, I guess, you know, empirical things. But the nice thing is that, you know, so it does a whole bunch of, you know, so it'll, detect pinhole leaks, unusual usage, drips, supply line, water left on, or bursts. So it'll tell you about pretty much every terrible thing that could happen to your water lines.
And again, that's pretty cool.
It's expensive. So they integrate with all the smart guys and stuff like that. And yeah, it just caught my attention as far as, you know, really, you know, pretty useful smart home thing.
Well, that's the key, right? Somebody, I think it was at the CES Trends thing where they were saying, you know, the kind of the beauty of smart home and the realization of it now that we finally have enough of this stuff out there is that instead of us taking care of our homes are taking care of us. And I kind of like that, that way of looking at it. So yeah, this is another one of those things. I also like the fact that we get to do all this, John. I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. What it takes to put all of this together so that we can cover all of these products and sift through all this stuff is a lot. And I want to thank all of our CES sponsors, but today in particular, I get to take a minute and talk about one of my favorite companies, and that's Otherworld Computing at MacSales.com. In fact, if you come to MacObserver.com, they've got a link where you can see all of their CES stuff. And that is, in fact, one of the things on their CES stuff is the Thunder Bay Flex 8, which they call the future of storage. This Thunder Bay Flex 8 is, they say, designed as a configurable command center. It's got 8 drive bays that support a mix of SATA and NVMe drives, right, for up to 128 terabytes of storage. And then it's got a plethora of ports, including 2 Thunderbolt 3 ports, a USB-C port, a USB-A port, and you can do all your docking and charging. You can see all your work with greater clarity by adding up to an 8K display via the built-in DisplayPort connection. You can pull in all your high-res images and video via the SD card and CF Express card readers. And of course, when you want to expand your desktop capabilities, there's a PCIe X16 slot waiting for you in there. So this is, it truly is the configurable command center, and it's an awesome thing. You got to check it out. Go to MacSales.com. This is fantastic, and it's just one of the many things that Otherworld Computing does that makes our lives better. So thanks to Otherworld Computing for sponsoring this episode and really sponsoring our entire CES coverage. They rock. Go check them out, MacSales.com. All right, John, what's next for you?
It's what's next for you. I guess you were trying to get my attention.
I was trying to get your attention. You were making a lot of noise over there, so I had to throw something at you.
Sorry.
I'm standing here waving my arms and flapping at you, and it's nothing. So I threw something at him and got his attention, folks. Right. What's next for you, John?
I think what's next here, so we're seeing more and more products in this. So everybody's aging. Everybody gets old. You have aches and pains and all sorts of things happen. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a mechanism to detect these things? Now, of course, we already have these things, you know, Apple Watch will do AFib and stuff like
that.
But I've seen a few products, and this one actually caught my eye. So it's a company, ChronoLife, and what they make is something called Nexkin.
Spell that for us all.
N-E-X-K-I-N.
All right. That's kind of what I thought you said. All right. Yeah. And what's that do?
And here's what it does, though. It's a shirt that you wear, but here's the thing: it has sensors for. Let's see. It can measure and store EKG, thoracic response, abdominal respiration, temperature, pulmonary impedance, and physical activity. And then it stores it in a little memory module that's in the shirt. And I guess when it gets near, I would think, you know, running the app, so
yeah,
you know, cloud-based
Bluetooth
thing
device
and stuff like
or
that.
Something, sure.
And then you could optionally have a physician, I guess, you know, get involved in this. I guess they've, you know, trialed this and all that. So you may not necessarily get an alert that you're about to die, but your healthcare provider would.
Interesting. You know. Huh. Wow. So health monitoring, and it's a shirt.
Yes. Huh. That measures the data and then sends the data to your smart device and then puts it in the cloud, and I guess somebody will analyze it. And I think it was, I don't have it. I was, you know, flipping through my notes and annoying you.
Yes. But,
I think it was $249 for one of the versions.
I'm looking at the press release, and it doesn't say. So, I believe you. That sounds about right for something like that. And if that's what's in your notes, that's fair. Yeah. Interesting. It's a shirt. Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense. There's a lot of, that's in touch with, it's in touch with your entire core. So that, yeah, makes sense. I like it. So John, we've all been fans of flash drives, right? I mean, they are infinitely useful. Here's the thing. They're slow, right? They're flash drives. So, you know, it's just like we've sort of become accepting of them. We tolerate flash drives.
Well, they're inexpensive too.
Correct.
So
right.
So the memory, priced accordingly.
Priced accordingly. However, USB has evolved. The speed of USB, at least potential speed of USB, has evolved. The capabilities of USB have evolved. And so has the concept of the thumb drive. And SanDisk was showing off their new dual drive Lux USB-C here at CES. It is a thumb drive that supports USB 3 speeds over both USB-C and USB-A in the same little device. And this device is, as they say, non-port blocking, which means you can have it plugged into one of your USB-C ports on a Mac and still plug something else into the USB-C port right next to it. So they've thought about this stuff. I didn't get to test this because it's literally brand new, but I tested another device that's a slightly different form factor, but I think similar guts. And they say that it's capable of delivering up to 150 megabytes per second. I got 155 megabytes per second reads and about 50 to 60 megabytes per second writes. That's like I could boot from this thing and be okay with it. A 1 terabyte model will be available Q1 of this year. 1 terabyte is $249.99. 500 gigs is $89.99. This is the future of flash drives, and I'm very excited to live in this world. So very excited about this SanDisk stuff. They also have their SanDisk Ultra Type-C flash drive, which is that's the one that I actually have in my possession and could test. USB 3.1 Gen 1, 256 gigs. These are good things to have around. So I'm excited. I'm excited about the future of flash drives, and we live in that future. So there you go. What's next, my friend?
What's next? And the final thing on my list here, so this caught my eye just because it looked like such a cool gadget. So Legrand, which I don't think is a U.S. Well, obviously they have presence in the U.S.
But sure.
I think it's foreign-based, so they have foreign subsidy or something like that. The name is familiar, though, but they were showing...
I think they're a French company. They acquired Netatmo, right?
Right.
And Netatmo was also a French company, or
So here's what they were showing, which I think is the realization that we all want to see someday. If you bought a new house, you would want this device.
Okay.
And they call it this smart electrical panel.
Okay, I already want it.
Oh, you found it?
No, you just said it's a smart electrical panel. I already want it. I'm sold.
So Driva is the name of it.
Okay, that's the product name. Drivia, all right?
Sure. Drivia, yes. And so what it is it becomes part of your electrical system, but that you could put in modules, kind of like fuses, to perform certain features. And then because this is a smart device and communicate with the smart electrical panel Drivia app,
okay,
you can do all sort. You can measure your power. And I didn't get to see the whole thing. We weren't actually running electricity, but some of the things you do is remote control, smart management, things you would expect. If you have a device that understands how to turn things on and off and also measure the amount of power.
This can help you save some money as I often say when I'm talking about business stuff, that which is monitored is managed.
Right. And I think the example we were talking about is, say you have a hot water heater You know what? Most of us, and number one, we have people that shake their fist at us for saying hot water heater because the water's already hot.
No, it's not hot. It's a cold water heater. If you're heating hot water, you've got to, you're doing it wrong.
So calling it a hot water heater is incorrect in some people's minds.
Yeah.
But he was giving that example. He's like, why do you need your water heated overnight when you're not using it?
Right.
Or why should any water be hot when you're not using it?
Right.
And you could have this thing say, you know, so a scenario is, okay, turn off the water heater between these hours because you're never going to need it and you're just wasting energy.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, all right.
I mean, I didn't have a lot of time to like dig into it. I mean, you know, they have an app. It looks, you know, like you can do, you know, activity, the things you would expect to be able to do.
Sure.
So I didn't dig into it, but I think it's nice to see more major companies like jump into the, jump into the pond here and just say, hey, you know, we want to offer you a device that both controls and helps you save energy and does, you know, all the good things that you would expect.
All the good things. Yeah. Huh. That's cool.
I think he said, and it wasn't terribly expensive. So he mentioned that they have a starter pack, you know, with, you know, the main unit and then, you know,
a couple of modules
for like $200. And then most of the modules that you can just, you know, slide in and add on are like, you know, about $80. So it doesn't sound like it's going to break the bank. I think you still need somebody that can think smart home.
Yes. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure. Yeah. I like that. You need somebody that can think smart home. Right. Because if you're used to just the old way of doing your home and you don't want to think about a different way of doing your home, there could be a lot of change resistance. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. All right. That's cool, man. All right. One last thing before we go. We got to go to an event where there was a pretty significant announcement made about the next rev of Bluetooth, specifically audio, or as they call it, LE audio. This brings a lot of new capabilities. The first thing it brings is a new codec, meaning a new algorithm that compresses the audio. All audio sent over Bluetooth is compressed because the bandwidth is limited. The codec that's been in use for years, SBC, is, they say it's okay. I say it's not all that great. Apple has sort of shoved AAC across Bluetooth, which is much, much better, but it's not altogether standard. There's APTX was another standard of audio, but not everybody supported it. Well, now with LE audio, there is a new high quality, low power codec called LC3 that they say brings great quality, even at lower bit rates than the current one. So that's great, right? Because not only do you get better quality, but you can get better battery life. So that's one thing. The big one to me is that it is multi-stream finally. So right now, if you have wireless Bluetooth earbuds, right, true wireless, there's no cable between them, your phone talks to one of them, and then that earbud talks to the other. And that can be flaky sometimes where you get like things out of sync. Apple's done a great job with AirPods sort of working around this. Some other companies have worked around it, but LE audio is multi-stream, meaning your phone can stream to both earbuds separately, but it can also stream to multiple devices separately. So you could have one Bluetooth source and multiple Bluetooth receivers, which is great. Not only does that mean like you and I could watch a movie and share without having to use some wonky Apple standard, like it's just built in, but it also means that you could have a room full of people listening to the same Bluetooth. So this is cool. It also makes LE audio bakes Bluetooth into hearing aids now, which again is a great thing. And just because now if you've already got a hearing aid in, you're done. You don't need anything else. You can listen to your stuff and hear all these broadcasts and everything else. So, every time there's a rev to Bluetooth, we always say, great, it's going to be so much better because it's the next version of Bluetooth. And as we often say on Mac Geek Gab, Bluetooth is often a bag of hurt. this sounds like they've done a lot of the right things. And to be fair, there has not been a rev to Bluetooth audio in like 20 years. Like, we're still, up until today, we were stuck with Rev 1 of Bluetooth audio. So this is a big step forward, and I'm pretty stoked about it. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe there's nothing to it. Maybe it's a great thing. So that's all we got time for. We've got to go to the next event because that's how we do it here. I want to thank all of our sponsors for CES coverage. Of course, Otherworld Computing, which we got to talk about in depth in this episode, but also iMazing, which we talked about yesterday, Text Expander, and Carbon Copy Cloner. Those four companies have made it possible for you and I, John, and really the whole team to be able to bring together all of this coverage. And that, my friend, is awesome. So make sure you go and thank all of them. And that does it. So, John, that's it, right? Any last words?
No, we're shifting tonight. I think, folks, is that David.
Well, this is this show releases on Tuesday morning.
Okay, but when I'm speaking in the past.
Okay,
then,
great. Okay,
as far as everybody's concerned.
Sure. But yes,
we're going from low gear to middle gear, I think.
It's CES is now ramping up.
We had one event that kind of broke us in.
Yep.
And now tonight is, you know, the second, and then tomorrow is...
Yeah, well, the day this show releases is the day the show floor opens, and it's when things get
when
crazy.
Everything is open, and that's when Correct. It gets... these last few days, I think, are usually for, like, media and analysts and, like...
Right.
Not the huddled masses, which I'm not saying in a bad way.
No, it's just it brings a lot more people.
The population explodes, and then everything gets to be really difficult. It used to be really easy.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. Getting around Vegas is about to get a whole lot harder for us. And again, that's why we thank our sponsors so we can take things like an Uber here or there to make our time more efficient. It really does. It makes a huge difference.
So. Yeah, and I asked one of the... so I use Lyft, and they give a discount to a lot of people. Look for them if you're coming out here. But and I asked the driver, I'm like, so let me guess. They're doing construction on one of the main drags that the buses that CES hires use. And he's like, yeah, of course.
Of course. Every time. Every
time.
Well,
when you have
we do have to
track
go.
It, that's when you have to do construction.
Of course.
That's it.
No, you're totally right. You're totally right. Well, I know that this is TDO and not MGG, but before we go, I will give you and everyone else a piece of advice, and that is have fun, but don't get caught. See you tomorrow. Maybe.